Starting today, the state is requiring all middle schools to return to full-time in-person learning unless they've been granted a waiver. Elementary schools went back earlier this month. High school students are set to return in-person on May 17th, although many are already there. And parents do, across all of that, have the option of keeping their children remote if they prefer. Governor Charlie Baker spoke yesterday about the importance of getting kids back into classrooms.
We believe it's critical to get all of our kids back with their teachers and their peers to learn and socialize and to have a chance in this very long and difficult year to be a kid.
So here's our question for you. Have your kids gone back to school? And if so, how does it feel? Call us. Are you relieved, anxious, some of both? What concerns did you have or do you have about them going back into the classroom or going back full time? Do you have any concerns about them staying home apart from their peers and apart from their educators? And have things improved since they've gone back? We'd love to hear all of it. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or tweet us at Radio Boston. So joining us for this conversation is WBUR's own multi-platform editor, Megan Kelly. Megan, welcome back.
Hi, Susiana. Thank you. So nice to talk to you again.
It's great to have you here. We also have Omar Ruiz, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist and owner of Talk, Think, Thrive, which is a relationship counseling practice based out of Wellesley, Massachusetts. Omar's also a middle school counselor at Boston Collegiate Charter School. Omar, welcome back to you, too.
Welcome back. Thank you so much.
And listeners, again, that number, and I see the calls are already starting to come in, that number to tell us what your experience is like is 1-800-423-8255. Megan, I'm going to start with you because as I understand it, you have two kids who, as of, I think, today, are both back in person doing their learning. So tell us a little bit about that. How old are they? When did they go back? After how long?
Hi, yeah. So I do have two kids. My daughter is a sixth grader and my son is a third grader. They're first day home in 2020 for foreseeable future was March 13th. And then the first day that they both went back to school in the building was March 8th, 2021. So it was almost exactly a year that they were out of the school building. Their school district started off in September deciding that the younger kids, pre-K, K, and first grade would go in on a hybrid, which was every other week in person. And then once the numbers seems to track okay, they would welcome more students into the buildings, but that didn't really happen. The winter was soon upon us. Case rates totally skyrocketed. So when March began, the week that my kids were in, the first day was March 8th, like I said, they were in that week, mm-hmm. They were home the next week, and it alternated until my son in elementary school started going full time. I don't remember exactly the date, but it was definitely like late March. I believe the governor had said all elementary school kids need to be back in person full time. And then today, my daughter, sixth grader, she'd already was supposed to be in school this week anyway, but all of the kids came back today. And so far, so good, it sounds like.
All right. And just for listeners, I think that date was April 5th when all elementary school students had to be back
in.
And Omar, at the school where you are a middle school counselor, is today the first day back for a full-time learning? What's the vibe been like for the kids there today?
Well, I think it corresponds with the date that you had mentioned back in April. At least for our school, they rolled out at the lower school first. I would say back in March, and then middle school and high school in April. And so in the first week of April, it was only the first full week, but just Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that week. And from there, it was more of an adjustment period for all the students as well as the staff. It almost felt as though we were back in September, just getting to know the students because a large amount of students would refuse to have their cameras on during their Zoom classes. So it was almost seeing their face for the first time. And now that we just came from an April break, so far, so good. Of course, there are some students who are still adjusting to more of the socialization piece. But there's been a high intake of students who are completely happy to be just around their friends and having easier access to their teachers.
Okay, so I want to start diving now. I'm going to go to the phones here, but I want to start diving into what it feels like for the parents with this change. And I'm just noting with the two of you, I mean, it was like some kind of crazy schedule blocking. Well, first it was these days, and then this week it was on, and then that week it was off, but now they're in, and then they were back out, but now they're back in again. And just that has to be wear and tear on family members. So let's keep that as a thing that we can talk about. I'm going to grab our first call, 800-423-8255. We've got Ritu on the line in Framingham. Hi, go ahead.
I have three kids, one high schooler and two middle schoolers. And today was a first full in-person school for my middle schoolers. And I just spoke to them, and they said it was very crowded compared to last week when they were doing hybrid. And I feel like if hybrid option was there, I would so much prefer. That way they get 1 week socializing, interacting with their peers and teacher, and at the same time, it's not crowded. They can maintain enough social distance in bus, in school building, and these are just middle schoolers. You cannot ask them to be quiet all the time, keep their mask on. So I feel like they should have hybrid option. The state has spent so much on remote learning. And
thank you, Ritu. I'm going to take it back from you there, because you've made a couple of points I want to make sure that we pick up on, which is, you know, the vulnerability of families, the adjustment of kids from hybrid to full-time, is that optimal? And at what age can kids handle the burden of responsibility of safety that we are putting on them? Megan, let me just, with a middle schooler yourself, let me just ask you how what Ritu said is resonating with you.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's definitely a concern, and it also varies so much on the kid, because I felt like my daughter did okay. You know, it wasn't ideal for her being home, but she really took to it in a very natural way, and she was able to stay in touch with friends over the phone, over chat, playing video games with each other kind of remotely. But, you know, not every kid is able to do that, and you know, I know he's younger, but with my son, I've just really seen that in-person interaction with other children is so, so vital to his mental health. And I think that it really depends on the kid about which system works best.
I want to ask listeners too, if your kid has now gone back to full-time in-person learning, maybe you worked at home, maybe you worked full-time out of the home and were worried about your child when they were at home. How does it feel now? How has the transition been for you as the parent? I know my youngest went back full time this week, and I felt kind of unanchored at home. Things just felt so different without that other human being in the house. 800-423-8255 is the number to call us. Omar, I know you work in a middle school. I know your kids are too young to be in elementary school. I think they're 2 and 4 years old now. In the families that you work with as a therapist, you know, how are families feeling about this transition? And if parents find it either scary or relieving, how should they feel about that?
I would say a good chunk of parents are more so relieved. And that comes from the school itself being very prepared for the transition back. And I think with any parents who are holding any type of concern or anxiety, there's an article published by the CDC around making decisions about your children attending in person. And parts of it is more of a checklist of making sure that you're aware and you're comfortable with the school's plan, and that you believe that the school itself has the necessary resources to implement the plan, and that you're satisfied with how the school is communicating about the plan in terms of if they're getting tested, if your child is fully aware of how to place the mask on. But for the most part, it's been an adjustment for everybody, for both staff and students. And so I would say for parents, it's more of their level of comfort as it pertains to health, as well as just their students' education. A lot of students have struggled throughout the year. There's some students who thrived off of remote learning, but there also are students who have struggled with the level of distraction that exists in the home that doesn't necessarily exist in the school building.
All right. And teachers, I know you're out there too. And maybe this week you've had the school fuller than it's been in a year. How does that feel for you? How's the transition going for you? 800-423-8255. We've got Richard on the line in Waltham. Richard, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me. Yeah, the son my school goes to here in the Boston area, we've kind of been in person since August 26th of this year as well. But it's a testament to the teachers and staff of different schools that are managed to get the kids back into full-time learning. And we've recently transitioned into a full-time learning as of Monday of this week. So it's been tough for everyone, but I think, you know, if you've got a good staff and good teachers behind that, you can get these kids back in. And we've seen that, and they kind of haven't missed a step during that process, and they haven't fallen.
Are you relieved? Are you relieved, Richard?
Yeah, I think, speak for all parents here in the Boston area, I think we're pretty relieved that the kids are going back in. But, you know, the ones that haven't been, you know, having any time to be in person, even the online stuff has not been, you know, a lot of times what they say is it's been sort of like haphazard. It's not been organized. And luckily for our school, it was very much organized. But it took a Herculean effort on the staff and of students to sort of all come together and make it happen. So
thanks for that call, Richard. And I'm noting and really hearing your note of respect in that call, too, for everybody who had to work hard to kind of put this over the top and get the kids back. Let's grab one more call here. Holly in Needham. Holly, go ahead.
I guess I'm just really excited to have the kids back in school. It's a relief. I was working from home. I have a first grader and a fifth grader, and to work from home while the kids are in a hybrid program was next to impossible and not healthy for them. They're finally back in the school district with their friends, having healthy relationships, not sitting on electronics all day. And it took a little bit too long. I understand their reasons for it, but I'm relieved that we're getting back to a normal situation.
And Holly, is it healthier for you now that they are back in school?
100% healthier. I'm not screaming and yelling as much. I felt like every day trying to get them to focus on Zoom calls and deal with a first grader trying to teach him over a Zoom call. It was impossible, and I was always at my wit's end, and I don't want to be that way with my children, obviously. And so there's a lot more patience entering our household again, which is a relief.
I'm glad to hear it, Holly. So Megyn Kelly, working mom, what about what Holly just had to say?
Oh my gosh, so much of that resonates. You know, I feel like when we first started staying home, as you know, being a journalist, we all were working crazy hours. My husband and I both basically were said to our kids, listen, you can feed yourselves, do what you need to do, but we got to work. And but when school started up again in September, it was so much more organized. And my kids' schools and their teachers did such a wonderful job, but it was still so much work. And I felt like I was not being the best mom that I could be, because I had to help them if they had technical problems, if they couldn't find scissors, if they needed glue or whatever. And feeling at my wit's end is exactly how I felt. And now that they're back, I feel like I'm so much more patient. It's so much more fun. I mean, I do miss them, actually. I have to say that, like, the first day that they were both back at school in March, it felt so weird. It was so quiet in my house that it felt, like, disturbing. But now that they're both back, it has been fantastic. And I feel, like, just so much better about everything.
So, Omar Ruiz, I want to turn to you with that note still in the air from both Holly and Megyn. I mean, we know about the concerns there have been about children's social, emotional, and mental well-being. According to a poll that was conducted by the Mass Inc. Polling Group in March, nearly two-thirds of parents surveyed, they were concerned for their children's emotional well-being, their children's mental well-being. There's the parental well-being in this, too. And, of course, that's a cycle, right? Those things feed each other. So what do you anticipate in the coming weeks in family models now? Will we see improvements in mental health? Will we see different kinds of confusion? As a therapist, what do you anticipate?
Well, I anticipate, I would consider it more of a potential honeymoon stage where you have that separation from the kids, where you finally feel like you have space away to just be yourself as either a worker or a business owner while trying to manage work. And then you can also be able to be that parent when they come back. I think the biggest issue, even though I have a 4 and a 2-year-old, when COVID first started, that was a challenge for myself, because with a 4 and a 2-year-old, even though they weren't in Zoom classes, they required a lot of attention. And in my field, I have to create some level of privacy when I'm seeing students. So it's a bit bit hard when you have a four-year-old wanting your attention because they want the Elmo that the two-year-old just grabbed. And so as far as when I mean about a honeymoon stage in the sense of it's going to feel a big relief now, but school is the academic year is going to be ending relatively soon. So then the summer is going to come up. And so with your whole year of having been around your kids, unless you already have plans on potentially traveling, on how you feel about traveling and your health, as well as any summer camps or activities, there might be a couple more months of you just still having more time with families. I have seen an intake in terms of families outreaching to me regarding issues within the family boundaries, because there's a lot of what is considered enmeshment, just an overall overarching notion of just being on top of each other because there is no space. And so creating that sense of space, even in this moment of just having students or children go back to school, allows there to be a much more healthier dynamic. And so that honeymoon stage is going to fizzle out, and then we're going to get back to a level of normalcy. And so if there were previous issues that were already happening, those issues will still come up, but hopefully not as often. But even if they do, that would be the best advice I can give, which is to reach out for some support. Because sometimes you go ahead.
No. Go. Go ahead and finish that.
Oh, no. Sometimes it's okay to just say, you know what, I can't be the best parent in this moment, and I need to reach out for some support.
Megan, how does it feel to hear Omar say, there's a honeymoon and then it will be over?
Wow, Omar, thanks. <I'm just kidding. laughs> No, that's very, I feel like that's really good advice, and that's very realistic. I'm hoping that I'm lucky. I was able to sign up my kids for a bunch of summer camps this summer. The days are a little bit shorter, but that's fine. I think that's very realistic, and I think that's really good advice. I'm hoping that my husband and I can kind of think about what did we do before the pandemic that maybe we weren't, you know, a big fan of. What did we do during it, and what can we do in the future to make things run more smoothly? And I think that Omar's advice, thank you, is wonderful. That it will give us that perspective to say, okay, this isn't going to last forever. So how can we make sure that when things kind of get back to that normalish state, how can we make sure that we're getting time to ourselves, that we're getting time with our kids, that all members of the family are getting time to do things that they like, and we'll think about reaching out for support when and if we need it.
Let's go back to the phones here, 800-423-8255 to join this conversation. Jennifer's on the line in Franklin. Jennifer, go ahead.
Hi there. I had to call in. I've been a teacher of my 26th year. I also have two children. One's a sophomore in high school and a sophomore in college. And it has just been just one roller coaster after another. I have to admit, there was a part of me that was like, I can't take one more change. Like, can't we just stay in hybrid? Even though I didn't really want that, yeah. I was so relieved. I feel like I'm driving home, and I feel like there has been a weight lifted off of me. It was so wonderful to see kids back where they, I don't know why I'm getting choked up, but it's just so great to see kids back where they need to be. And, you know, as a teacher, all you want to do is connect with kids. And I was amazed to realize how many kids I was really able to connect with over Zoom. But then there were some kids that I couldn't help them the way I knew I could help them. Their technology was bad. You couldn't hear them. They would cut out. I would set up, like, extra Zoom meetings after school. But, you know, I've given more kids my personal phone number, and they just text me. And I'm just like, it was so nice to see all of their, except we still have a handful of kids that are fully remote, but I am just thrilled to be back. And even though it's still different, it's not the norm. It's just, we're just going to be able to do our jobs the way we're supposed to do them.
You sound like
Jennifer, I'm so glad
teacher.
You called. Say that again, Megan.
I was just going to say,
knew I called you and cried, they would laugh at me because I actually got choked up with the kids who were staying fully remote today. I'm like, I'm just so sad I'm never going to be able to get to meet you guys in person. And so it's just been such a year. And I laugh because my school system is great and my home life. Like I feel like we've been in the nirvana of hell, I keep saying this year. Like it could be so much worse. But relatively speaking, I think my family and my school system has we've been okay. We've done it.
Good.
You know, I keep telling
good.
My students to channel their inner Rocky and climb the stairs, and we can get there.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you so much. And I love that image also of channeling the inner Rocky. Megan, you know, I think you were having a reaction similar to mine, which is, boy, don't you want to, doesn't it come to heart to know that that's how teachers are approaching this? I heard that really speak to you.
I mean, Jennifer sounds like an amazing teacher, but it also, I feel like one of the plus side of being home this year is being able to actually be present in my kids' classes. I mean, not present, right? But I could overhear a lot of what their teachers were saying and talking, and like, they just had the best attitudes. They were working so hard, and I appreciate them so much. And if I could wave a wand and have every teacher make $1 million a year, I would definitely do it, because they just, they put so much work in every day, and it's so, so appreciated. And I hope they know that.
All right. We're not going to be able to go back to the phones before I turn to you for a final thought, Omar, I just want to note Aaron calling from Methuen and Rob and Mary calling from Chelmsford, both teachers or school counselors also calling in today. Glad you educators are out there letting us know how it's going. Sorry we weren't able to get to those calls, but thanks to everybody who's putting in the work. So, Omar, you are in a school. And you
yes.
are working with families. What else? Mm-hmm. What's the last or most important thing you want all of us to understand in this moment when we're having yet another change and another new shared experience?
I would say that change is inevitable. It's the one thing that stays constant. And just know that as the vaccines are being administered and as things are moving forward, we're going to slowly get to a sense of normalcy. It's not going to be what was previously normal, but at least normal in a sense of we will feel a bit more relieved. And so that would be what I would say.
And Megan, what's your greatest, you know, two sentences, what's your greatest wish for your kids in these next few weeks?
I hope that they just have a great time. I hope that, you know, that they're able to continue to enjoy school and that they continue to enjoy seeing other kids and that they're just having a great time every day, you know, as much as possible. Not every kid loves every minute of school, but, you know, outside of recess and lunch, I hope they're having fun.
All right. Hey, listen, that was WBUR's multi-platform editor Megan Kelly and Omar Ruiz, licensed marriage and family therapist and owner of Talk, Think, Thrive. He's also a middle school counselor at Boston Collegiate Charter. Thanks to both of you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Josiana.
Thank you so much.